Well, good morning. It's been a good morning, hasn't it? I've thoroughly enjoyed that. Thoroughly enjoyed the young folks coming up and ministering to us to begin things off, and the opportunity to see folks stand for those that are standing on the front lines. Appreciate all of that. Appreciate Bishop Bray coming and giving a report. He and the First Lady about the things that are going on at the shelter down there. Need you not to forget, we have our quick response team headed to Madisonville yesterday and are ministering there. A smaller incident than they're used to ministering in, but a fire destroyed a shelter there, and they're going there to feed some of the folks that would be sheltered normally for a few days. And so you pray for your quick response team as they are on site and preparing for lunch as we sit here this morning for those that are in a need today. So you remember them in all that they're doing. I'd like to get you, if we can, to go ahead and get your Bible out. And let's turn that thing over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to look at one verse this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Kind of a summary verse. So there's a lot going on prior to what we have before us this morning. But I want to look at this one verse and then challenge you a little bit with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, looking at verse 15. Read it with me, if you will, all together, beginning at verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Small verse, big subject. Small verse, wonderful thoughts that are contained in it. If you were to read the entire chapter, you'd find that Paul had been boasting of what these Corinthians would give when they had a chance to give. But now that the time for the gift was now upon them, he felt the need to encourage them and to exhort them so that they would not fall short. He reminds them early in the chapter that the liberal sowers reap liberal harvests, and that sparing sowers reap a sparse harvest. And he encourages folks to be cheerful givers. Those that had been given much should be moved to give to the Lord's poor. And then here at the end, his thoughts make a real natural progression from the liberality of giving among ourselves to the liberality of God's giving to his poor people. What you and I give, we can speak about. Now, we shouldn't. That's not something we ought to be bragging about or boasting about or making a name for ourselves about. But we can and could speak about it, because what we give is quantifiable. Yes? It is quantifiable. We can have an exact quantity on the gifts that we give. But God's gift, on the other hand, is not quantifiable. It is infinite. And that's where the term that we have here comes from. Unspeakable. Unspeakable. It can't be quantified. We are in the early stages of a particular season, beginning of a particular season. It runs from, some folks have already started with it, but it runs from now through New Year's. And it is more often than not called the holiday season. Now again, there's some of us that get a great deal of heartburn over calling the latter part of the year the holidays. I'm probably not one of them. There may be some of you that have that issue. Holiday simply means holy days. And so, you know, when you're calling it holidays or the holy days, or whether you're calling that Christmas or whatever, to me that's not necessarily something that I'm going to get exercised over with that. Holiday being the shortened form of the holy days, and that's what they are or they're not, right? And so I'd say indeed that we are in the holy days. No matter what you call the season, some of us grumble about the holidays and gripe about the commercialization and the activities and the expense and everything that goes along with it. And we can get a bit Scrooge-ish because much of the tradition of the season has nothing to do with holiness and with Christ. Still, other folks have a hard time with the holidays because of the empty chairs at the table and all kinds of things that affect us personally as we go into them. Like it or not, season comes every year. And you're not going to stop it. And so at its core, what it's designed for is to remind us to pause, and quite often during these holy days, to reflect on the blessings of Christ. To reflect on what God has done for us and where we've come from and where we're going. And just to reflect on the holiness of God and what Christ has done on our behalf. The verse before us is a Thanksgiving verse and a Christmas verse. Do you see that? It's a Thanksgiving verse, and it is also a Christmas gift, Christmas verse. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Christ is the ultimate Christmas gift, isn't He? He's the ultimate Christmas gift. He's a gift so good. He's a gift that's so great, so wonderful, that He cannot be described. He can only come as a gift. No man could ever be fit enough. No man could ever be deserving enough to receive the great mercy of God. An indescribable, unthinkable, unspeakable gift is what He is. If you had to keep God's law without fail, if you had committed no sin, if you had omitted no duty, it would not be enough to deserve what Christ did for you. You still wouldn't measure up to the gift that he offers to each and every one of us here this morning. You see, the infinite God squeezed Himself into flesh. An infinite God became man in order that He might pour His life out for you and for me. Is any mortal man worth the death of an immortal God? I don't think we can measure up to that. You can never be good enough to deserve Christ or to deserve what He's done for us, and that's why, again, He is the unspeakable gift that is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He came to save sinners. He did not take upon Himself our righteousness. No man's righteousness can exceed His. He took upon His righteous frame our iniquity. He died on the cross for guilty men, not deserving men. The Savior is given for those who deserve to die. Can you imagine? Can you even conceive of anything that you've done that could warrant your salvation? Anything that would make you deserving that God should die in your place? That is a gift unspeakable. And for a gift to be a gift, there has to be a giver and there has to be a receiver. And it is impossible to thank Him for what you haven't and what you won't receive. You can't thank somebody for what you won't receive. You can't thank someone for something that you won't have. I thank God that the poorest man on earth can accept the gift. A child from a mud hut somewhere with filthy hands can hold out empty hands and receive the gift. A man who's lived many years and has the wrinkles and scars from untold battles, who will hold out trembling hands, empty hands, can receive the gift that is offered. A thief can hold out empty hands and receive the gift. A robber can hold out empty hands and receive the gift. Can have those filthy hands filled from the very hands of the giver of the gift. Oh, song we sing, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, what a glorious thing it is that we may be able to receive the unspeakable gift, the great gift of God's grace. And friends, once we've received it, once we've accepted it, it's ours. If you give me a gift, the moment it passes from you to me, it's mine. It's no longer yours. It's mine. Sometimes we get to thinking wrong, even about our collections and things of that nature. When we take up a collection or take up an offering, and then we look and see how things were spent beyond that, and we can sometimes get heartburn about how they spent my money. They, again. Whose is it when you give it? It's no longer yours. It belongs to the one that receives it, you see. When you receive a gift, it's yours. Nobody comes along and says, I need that back. It's not a gift then. It has strings attached to it if it's not a gift. So it belongs to the one that it is given to. If God's given you Christ and you've received Him, He's yours forever. Amen. He is yours forever. Some of you have been straining to be something or to do something to get this unspeakable gift. You're straining for the wrong reason. Trying for the wrong thing. It's a gift that gets it all started. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. Nothing you can do to earn it. You receive it. And then you live with it. Live out what the gift brings to your life. Don't insult God by bringing junk to purchase His gift. When we get the idea that we have to do certain things to maintain certain things, then we've gone awry in our thinking. Because salvation comes down to that gift, that moment of receiving that gift. And once you've received that gift, it's yours. It is yours. And the more we learn about the gift, the more we see about this gift, the more the Scriptures open up to us about this gift and what happened in that moment of receiving, oh, the more gratitude there is, the more thankfulness there is, the more love there is, the more joy there is about this unspeakable gift that we've received. And then the Scripture tells us that within we serve Him because we love Him, not because we have to or hoping that He won't take it away from us or rip the rug out from under us with this thing. When we receive the gift, it's ours. And it's ours forever. and ever. Thanks be to God, it says. Thanks be to God. The one who deserves to be praised for the gift is God. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be thanked for the gift that we've been given. He's the one, God is the one who devised the plan that would bring Jesus into the world. Thanks be unto God for the plan that He put together, that He wrought out on the anvil of eternity past. Thanks be to God for these things. It's God who is the one who loved us first, loved us before we were lovable, loved us before anything else. God loved us first, and all we get a chance to do from time to time is love Him back. Thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to Him for extending Himself to us, for reaching out to us first. God's the one who came to us when we weren't looking for Him. How many of you were looking for God the day He found you? Huh? I was minding my own business, I thought. I was minding my own business, wasn't poking around into things that I didn't think I ought to be. And one day, all of a sudden, it just smacked me in the face. There's a God. And then the next thing I find out is that He loved me first and that He wants me. And as far hard as I tried to push that down and push that away because I didn't want Him involved in my life, things just kept coming up and popping up. And the next thing you know, I find out that He's been looking for me all this time. He's been looking for me. I wasn't looking for Him, that's for sure. And the things that I was involved in my life, I wasn't looking for Him. I was looking for something, but it wasn't Him. I'd have been awful ashamed if I'd have found Him in some of them places that I was looking for something when I wasn't looking for Him. So thanks be to God that He's the one that came looking for us, came to where we were. We didn't have to make a trek halfway around the world. We didn't have to make a pilgrimage of any kind. You didn't have to make a trip down to the local church. He came looking for you. He came to where you were and found you right where you were. God's the one who convinced us of our sin when we looked at Jesus. It wasn't something in me that convinced me. It was God convincing me that Jesus was the answer. I didn't want Him to be the answer, to be honest with you. I didn't want it to be about Jesus. I didn't want it to be about God, this life that I was living. I wanted it to be about something else. I wanted there to be some other kind of provision out here because I had this whole idea of what Jesus and God and church and all this stuff was about. And, you know, frankly, I didn't want to have to give up the life that I was building in order to have some of that stuff over there. So I wasn't looking for Jesus. I wasn't wanting things to be about Jesus. It was God that convinced me that Jesus was the one. He did the convincing. He did the convicting. I just received. I just responded to what He was doing. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for His plan, for His way. We owe God everything. Whether you're lost or saved in here today, you owe Him everything. Everything's about Him. You owe Him the breath that you breathe. You owe Him every single thing. I'm going to tell you, friend, lost or saved in here today, praising God is never out of order. Praising God is never out of place, no matter where you're at. Man, you may be around a world that tells you to hush and quit that, but I'm going to tell you what. God is everything. And we owe Him everything. And so I say to you this morning, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto Him. Lord, help us. We have come to a time when praising God isn't fashionable. Even in our church houses, it's not fashionable to praise God. We have folks that lift a hand occasionally and everybody wants to look at them sideways. Like, what's the matter with them? We've come to a time, it's a terrible time, where praising God's not fashionable. where everybody wants to be in control of themselves and to make sure that they don't make a fool of themselves in some way. A day of Thanksgiving is about to be observed in our future, and very little thanks is going to be made unto God. Very little thanks is going to come even out of the lips of those that are numbered among the redeemed. There's going to be a whole bunch of turkey that's going to be eaten, a bunch of spiced tea that's going to be drunk. Football, family is going to be majored on, but the one that deserved thanks will be ignored, except for a real quick, good food, good God, let's eat. Every day of our lives ought to be an opportunity for us to give thanks. Give thanks to the God that we owe everything to. We owe everything to Him. The one who's given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. I think I read that in a book. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And to Him we owe great and grave thanks. Christmas, happy holidays. What difference does it make if we're going to spend the season running around buying stuff that we can ill afford to give to people that don't need it? What difference does it make what you call it if that's what your focus is? Huh? It doesn't matter what name you use for it if you're going to do things like that. It's not about that. We run around, we talk more about Santa and the elves and the elf on the shelf and reindeer than the Son of God. Floating about from gathering to gathering, party to party, where we tell the same old stories to the same old people, wearing ourselves out to be festive and gay when we really want to just lock ourselves up in our room. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get how far we've come in this mess. If we're not going to spread the good news that Jesus has come, that He's the reason to gather and celebrate, what's the difference what we call it? What's the difference? Christmas has to be more than meals and presents. It has to be a season of praise. For what? For His unspeakable gift. That's what this is all about. It's a season of praise for His unspeakable gift. Will you be like the 9 lepers that were healed and walked away without a backward glance? Or would you be as the one that returned and gave thanks unto the Lord? Huh? Thanks. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We play this song a lot in our chapel a time during this time of year. I started last week, and I'll keep playing it on through the Thanksgiving holidays. Just a reminder to our young people here of kind of what this is about. Sing along if you want to, and don't worry about the animations. These are intended for people. Well, some of you'll get it in here. Can you throw that up? Here we go.
Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. 10 men with diseases came one day to Jesus. He healed them and then told them, go to the priest and show them. All 10 walked away, but only one came back to say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks.
It doesn't change, you can sing that.
Don't be a turkey, just say thanks.
Don't be a turkey,
just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything.
Don't be a turkey.
Don't be a turkey. Just say thanks.
Don't be a turkey this morning.
Just say thanks.
Be thankful in your heart for everything.
Many people still today don't remember what to say. When Jesus answers prayer, it shows us how much he cares.
Don't be a turkey. Say thanks for everything. 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 Say thanks for everything. Everything? Everything? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Verse 19 goes right along with it. Quench not the Spirit. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. There's things going on in my life that I can't give God thanks for. I can't. You can. He says you can. He says you can give thanks in everything. Don't quench the Spirit. It's that Spirit that enables us to be able to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. If you're a child of God, my friend, you can give thanks for everything that comes into your life. Everything. And you're expected to give thanks for everything that comes into your life. Quench not the Spirit. You received the gift the moment you were saved. What is the gift? The gift is eternal life. That eternal life that is shown by that Spirit of God that is placed inside of us to grow us, to mold us, to make us, to help us, to encourage us, to move us along so that we can thank God in everything that comes into our life. We're to thank Him in everything. We're to worship Him in everything. Everything that takes place in our life. Zechariah chapter 4. I've mentioned this in passing several times in this last 2 weeks. Zechariah chapter 4. Taking a look at verse 6. The word of the Lord comes to Zerubbabel, and he says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What he's talking about here, and he's talking about with Zerubbabel, is he's telling him, he's saying, you don't have the power. You don't have the might. Those things are finite, and they will come to an end. It is by my Spirit that you'll be enabled, that things will take place. In other words, you have to get beyond the place where your power and your might can do and over into the realm where only I can do. Not by your power, not by your might. Do all you can do. Do all you can do. But that's where God steps in. When you've done all you can do, when you've got beyond your power and beyond your might, that's when God steps in by His Spirit, you see. And so folks say, I can't praise God for what I'm in. I can't be thanking Him for this mess that is in my life right now. Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. You're expected to. You're expected to thank God in everything. To thank Him in everything that comes your way. Because by His Spirit that lives in you, you have to know that He's going to make a way. By His Spirit that lives in you, you have to know that He will never leave you alone. That you'll never have to face this by yourself. And that there's going to be a way through, over, around, or some way, because He will make a way. And you can thank Him for that way. You can thank Him because the Spirit of God lives in you and He will work in these things. Thank Him now for the trouble that you're in. How do I thank God for my loved one being gone? Is He God or is He not? Thank Him in everything. In everything. That spirit of worship that comes. That spirit of worship that comes. We've been talking about this a good bit this last couple of weeks. The same idea here about getting beyond our power and getting over into the realm where God works. And I'm going to share something with you here in the way of a prayer request. And as a way to be a part of something that is already going on here with us as well. We occasionally, the best laid plans that people have, sometimes they don't pan out the way we think they do. And the reason being because we're not God. And so we do the best we can under His leadership to do certain things, but sometimes things don't turn out the way we think they're going to turn out, do they? Well, it turns out that way for individuals, and it turns out that way for organizations and all kinds of things. So this year, we've had a challenge in the largest discipleship portion of our ministry here, which is the academy. The budgets of these two, the church and the academy, are completely and entirely separate. And as we go into each and every year, it's almost like having to be a prognosticator to figure out what's going to happen before it happens in the school year. And so we make projections. And usually we're pretty good with the projections that we make. But for whatever reason this year, our projections fell short of actuality. Okay? In our preschool department, to be exact, we're one class less this year than we were last year. That's a lot. One large class less in our preschool program. There's no reason for it, or so it seems. There's not a reason why that shouldn't be there. There's a trend that's been there for 14 years. And we can count on these things. But for whatever reason, it did not happen. And when it doesn't happen and you're banking on it and you're putting things and resources and everything to bear out there, guess what happens? There's a shortfall. Now, it's not there yet, but if things were to continue all the way through to the end of the year, it would be on the far end, you see. So we kicked in early. The minute we figured out, hey, this thing's not going in the right direction, we're going to have to do something. Well, we've already done stuff. And we're about the point where we've done about all we can do. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to paint something here as being crazy bad and that we're in danger of locking up the doors or any of that sort of thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. We need you to pray about it. Okay? And we're expecting that when we get beyond our power, you see, we've done all we can do. Our last financial statement I got it hot and fresh into my hand yesterday. And it's already amazing. And I've asked Joni to look at it twice. Where'd it come from? What happened here? Because things are already taking place. The corrections and things that have taken place, but I can't explain all of it yet, okay? And that one looks good. It looks really good. I don't think we're out of the woods with everything, but it looks really good. We did all we could do. We had us a big old prayer meeting, and I'm asking you to pray about that too, to be a part of this ministry and pray about these things, okay? Because I'm expecting a victory in all of it. I'm expecting God to honor what He's put in place and honor the plans that we've made. We haven't just made plans and then said, come go with us. We've made plans believing that God is in this from the beginning. And now we're getting to see Him turn some things right here. And when He starts turning things on His own, it is amazing I'm telling him we need more kids. And he's saying, I can drop cattle from 1,000 hills on your front step, boy. You ask me one way and I'll deliver another way. But you got to get beyond you. And it's that spirit, you see. That spirit of thanksgiving, to thank him for the trouble. And I do and have been thanking him for the trouble that we found ourselves in. Now, that was after the first month where my hair turned whiter. Okay? My hair started to turn another shade whiter because I was all worried about what in the world was going to take place with all of this. Worried, man. I'm worried. And then I had to sit myself down and say, snap out of it. What's the matter with you? It's not your school. This is not your thing. We have a God that's bigger than all of that. Snap out of it, boy. And give it back to the one that can take care of these things, you see. Kind of reminds me of the gal that went to the psychiatrist. She just worrying and worrying and worrying over her son. I mean, she was worried herself sick over her son. Went in, talked with the psychiatrist. Psychiatrist said, yep, looks like you're worrying yourself sick. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a prescription, give you something to kind of calm you down a little bit and see if that'll help you a little bit. So gave her a prescription. She went off. Next month, the appointment came. She comes in. She sat down, crossed her legs, looked at the doc. He said, it looks like this is working pretty good. She said, oh, yeah, these tranquilizers are working real good. He said, well, what about your son? Is everything okay there? He said, who cares? Who cares? We don't need nothing to dumb us down now, do we? Huh? We do care, don't we? And it's about his spirit. And it's about us being where we need to be in order to give thanks in everything that we have before us. Let me show you something else right here, and we'll move towards wrapping all this up. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 14. We'll start in 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What does it say? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without these things, that you'll be blameless and harmless. Give thanks to God in everything. And the only way you can do that is by His Spirit. There are some things that are just too hard for us to do on our own. We have to get beyond our power. We have to get beyond our might over into the realm of where God works. And by His Spirit, we can do what He's called us to do. We can give Him thanks. Sometimes it just means your mouth has to move a minute. Huh? And when your mouth moves a couple of times and thanks God for some of these things, your ear hears it. And your ear says, yeah, that don't sound so bad. Yeah, that might be it. And man, your mouth and your ear get hooked up, and then your heart gets hooked up to that. And the next thing you know, you say, well, you just convinced yourself. No, but sometimes you need to hear it. Sometimes you need to hear yourself say it. Sometimes you need to preach to yourself a little bit. Preach to yourself just a little bit to get yourself back where you belong. Folks, when we thank God consistently and faithfully and constantly in every situation of our life, we are manifesting a spirit-controlled life. That is what that is. When we're consistently and constantly thanking Him for what's in our life, that is showing that we're living a spirit-controlled life. And isn't that what we're called to live? Isn't that what we want to live? How do we do that? By the convincing of the Word of God. And when that takes place, God's glorified. We're blessed. Church is built up. The lost are reached. This is proof of a transformed life. When we're able to give thanks in the things that nobody else can give thanks for, that's proof that we've got a transformed life on our hands, that we have received the gift of life. It is necessary for us to have that spirit in order that we maintain that joyful attitude, that grateful attitude, no matter what life wants to serve up to us on any given day. If you're grateful for all that you've been given in Jesus Christ, you'll show it by giving back to the Lord and to the needs of His people. Thanksgiving is upon us. Christmas is not far behind. Trees and tinsel and presents and family gatherings are secondary to what it's all about. And what it's all about is intense gratitude. Intense gratitude, thanksgiving, and worship when we think of His unspeakable gift toward us that God gave us. And it should overflow in our hearts. I encourage you this morning to think of the worst that's touching your life. The thing that you've been trying to get out of your mind for the last hour. I encourage you to think about the rough thing that's intersecting with your life today. To think about the worry that you've spent on it. And I'd like to challenge you to thank God for it. To thank Him for it. To give thanks for what He's going to do. And how He's going to work it out in your life. You know what that is? That's really just worship. That's really just worship is all that is. Can I say it to you like this? Worship and worry can't live in the same heart. Worship and worry cannot live in the same space. They cannot. One or the other one will triumph over the other. It's worship or worry. It can't be both. Give thanks to God for everything. Pull up that bad scenario in your mind this morning and thank God for it. Thank God for what you're going to learn. Thank God for what He's going to show you. Thank God for what He's going to do. And how amazing it's going to be when He shows you what He's going to do. Life is lived forward, but our experience is looking backwards. And so we live forward with faith, and we look back of how far we've come. Worship and worry, they can't live in the same heart. One of them needs an eviction notice this morning. I'd encourage you to do that by virtue and by way of thanking Him for what's in your life and how He's going to make it work. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the great and grand opportunity that we've had to, Lord, assemble in this room. Lord, to assemble before You and to rehearse the things that are important to us in this life. I thank You, Lord, for being there. I thank You, Lord, for watching over us and helping us. I thank You, Lord, for even the rough stuff that comes into our lives so that we can be grounded and so that we can be, Lord, encouraged when we see how You work. Lord, You tell us in Your Word that our faith is built from faith to faith. That faith is built. And Lord, every time that You come through, that makes a foundation for us to move forward in. I thank You for Your Spirit, Lord. Teaches and comes alongside of us and comforts us, helps us in the dark nights, and Lord, in those times when we don't know which way to go, gives us a path that we can follow. I thank You, Lord, for all of that. I thank You, Lord, for these people today, and ask You, Father, to help us to be honest and straightforward this morning. I know I have a hard time thanking You for some of the rough stuff. but I also see the need in it. And Lord, thank you for the way that you're growing me, that I'm able to see it quicker than I used to. Lord, I just thank you for that, for revealing and showing me, Lord, things in such a way that encourages me as I try to walk along this path. And I pray, God, the same for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, that we'd see quicker, Lord, that things aren't as bad as they seem because you're in the midst of it. And I'd ask you, Father, to help us to be more thankful for even the rough stuff that comes into our life. Lord, this morning as we offer a time of invitation, I would pray, Lord, for those who've never received the gift. Gifts have been offered to all men. Gift is offered here this morning. The gift of eternal life. The gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. The gift of the Spirit of God. The indwelling Spirit that comes in at the moment of receipt. Receiving of that gift of life. I'd ask you for those that have never received that gift this morning, Lord, that their eyes might be opened. They'd understand that God has drawn them to this place, that God is convincing them today of the fact that Jesus is the only way. And I would ask you, Father, to bring those folks to the end of themselves. Lord, that a new life, transformed life, a great and grand life, Lord, might be theirs. I'd ask you, dear Heavenly Father, for the saints that are in the room today that have been dispirited, caught up with worry and all the things that that drag us down into the pit of despair. I would ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to put a spring in our step, lift their chins high towards the heavens, Lord, that they might look over the parapet, that they might look over the walls of heaven and see, Lord, that you're in charge and in control. Lord, that we might be thankful for everything that is intersecting with our life this morning. And Lord, that we might go a step further and that we might just enunciate that to you. Thank you, God, for whatever it is. I'd ask you, Father, to help us to respond to that this morning. Lord, that it wouldn't be a weight around our neck that would hold us down any longer, but God, that there might be freedom in this room this day. Freedom from the bondage of unthankfulness and ingratitude. Now, Father, I just want to step out of the way and ask you, Father, to finish up what you started. Have your way among us. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Jason will lead us.